spirit for the Lord is so very much appreciated here, I know. We're glad you're here this morning. We know we've got some out here. We've got quite a bit of our teens and a couple of our families that are gone at the Winterfest in Dallas with the youth. And so they'll be coming back later today. Let's keep them in our prayers as they're traveling up, coming back to Tulsa. But we miss them here, of course. We're glad you're here if you're a visitor with us. We hope that you find us to be a people who really, truly do love the Lord and want to reflect His love in our life, in everything we do. And we hope and pray that our worship today has enriched you and in your spirit and in your faith with God. All right, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you know the drill here, come on, let's hold the Bibles up, right, church? All right, 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Don't you just love family? You know, we all of us have been born into a family, good or bad, big or large, crazy or not. No, wait a minute. Some of y'all are family in here, so you better amen in each other. That'll get you in trouble at lunch. But you know, God has placed us into this world, and His plan and His design was that it be in family that we develop. Our lives would be enriched and would be blessed through that very basic institution, the home, the family. And it really is the oldest institution on this planet. The home goes all the way back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. God said it is not good for what? Man to be alone. We were created for community. We were created to be a belonging with others. And that's very basic in the family. We think about our homes that we've been born into and our families, mom, dad, brothers, sisters. Yeah, maybe a few crazy uncles in there as well. But God wants us to develop through family. And I understand that not all families are good. I understand that this morning. We don't have any blinders on that we don't realize some people are born into some families and come into some homes that are anything but what God would want it to be. Of course, that we understand that. But God's intention, God's plan, God's Word calls us to family. And you know, one of the great images or pictures of the church is that basic unit of family. We are the family of God. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I've been thinking about the church quite a bit lately. Last week we had a lesson and we kind of talked a little bit about even our roles in the church and how we are. We mentioned last week that when God saved us, He didn't save us in isolation. He put us in a body. He added us to the church. And we have responsibilities. We have some obligations. We have a relationship with one another. And we talked a little bit about that. And we talked about, of course, that theme of love, that the great responsibility that we have as family, as the church, is to love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. Jesus could have said a number of things. The world will know you. But He says, this is the identifying mark, that you love one another. And so as I'm thinking more here and some lessons that I'm thinking about the church as a family, I want to come back to this here this morning. And here in 1 Timothy 3, look here at verse 14 and 15. Paul will use this imagery of the church being the family, the household there. Notice what he says here in 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Paul wants to come to Ephesus, But he knows that there's a good chance, there's a good probability that he's going to be delayed in coming there to the church at Ephesus. So he sent Timothy in his place. And there's some problems, there's some issues there at Ephesus involving a number of things, particularly false teaching. And so Paul here says, if I'm delayed, Timothy is there, and I'm writing these things so that you know how to conduct yourself. We're going to talk some more about that in a couple of weeks. But he says that you know how to conduct yourself in God's household. You see there, the blank there, the first one. The church is the household of God. The church is the household of God. You know, when he says household there, there are some times that this refers to, we might think about a spiritual house, a spiritual building, not a physical building, but we often think about that that idea that in places like 1 Timothy 2:15 that we are being living stones built into a spiritual house. We are spiritual stones. The church is a spiritual building. Everyone that belongs to Jesus Christ is a stone, is a brick in that spiritual building. But here the word is the idea of simply family. Family. And we know that because earlier in the chapter here, Paul has been dealing with leadership, actually. Qualifications for elders and also deacons. And he says there that one of those qualifications is that verse 4 of 1 Timothy 3, an elder must manage his own family, or household is the word there. But the idea is family well. And see that his children obey him with proper respect. Then he gets down here, verse 12, a deacon must be the husband of one wife and manage his children and household well. There he's talking about their influence that they have upon the church. Have they exercised that influence first in their family life, in their home life? And so here he says, we are the household of God. The church is the family of God. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus in our faith, when we surrendered ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins were forgiven, our sins were washed away. We received the Spirit of God indwelling in us, but we were also added to the family of God, the church. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, for by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body, the church. We've been added to the church. We've been added to the family of God. And when we were baptized into Christ, at that moment, we can now speak of God in a way that we could never speak before. He is our Father. And we can speak to now our brothers and sisters in Christ as just that. They are our brothers. They are our sisters in the family of God. We have a new family. You know, for a lot of us, I know myself, both Maggie and I, my wife, you know, our church, our family life has always been connected with the church family. Growing up here in Tulsa, 10th and Rockford, that's all I ever knew. You know, family life was also connected to church life, church family. Maggie grew up over at Carbondale, and it's the same thing there in the Rampy family. That the family that she grew up in, her house, it was connected to the spiritual family, the church. And I know for a lot of you, you have that same experience. Some of you don't have that experience. And maybe even for some of you, the tie, the bond is even stronger with your spiritual family, maybe even than your physical family. I've known people that I've known in the church, you'll say, let me tell you something, I've got some family, I've got some relatives I'm kin to, I'm with blood, but I am drawn closer to my spiritual family than I am my own physical family. And we realize the bond of family. And here we're a spiritual family. And we bear one another's burdens. You know, that you find that in Galatians chapter 6. I love this verse in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. These are familiar words. You know this verse. Where Paul here encourages us to continue to do good. And he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We, We're to help bear the burdens of our family members, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes the responsibilities are so heavy that they need someone to come alongside and to help them lift that load. He says we do that. Now our love, our doing good is not just restricted to the spiritual family, but it is to have priority there. Just like in your physical family, probably. My wife, my two daughters, and my son, I'll just be honest with you, and I think you'd probably be the same with me, that if they have a need, and you have a need, and all I have is limited resources that I can't help both of you, you know who's going to get dibs, right? That bunch, well, I'm missing some of them. One of them's in Bible Hour, one of them's in Texas. But that little group right down here is going to get dibs. Now, a close second, a hair behind them is you. And a hair behind them even is the world. You see, we're to do good to all people, but especially our family. We don't neglect our family. They have that priority. We're sensitive to the needs of our family. And so Paul here, we're being reminded of the dynamics of family. And we're going to talk about this. Paul doesn't flesh it out here. And so we're going to try to flesh this out some more in the coming weeks because there's a lot of characteristics. There's a lot of parallel between the church as a family and our physical families. There's a lot of good things, good parallels. There's also some things that sometimes are not so good because family life sometimes is messy. And we're going to talk a little about that as well in a couple of weeks when we deal with that in family and as a church. But let me just remind you here of two things here this morning that I really want to stress. And again, hopefully we can build on these in the coming weeks as well. We're not going to try to cover everything about church's family in one lesson. But let me remind you here about what it means to be family in these two ways here, first of all. I think it means, first of all, that we are conscious of one another. We are conscious of one another. You know, it's so easy to get lost in our own world, our own life. Our own responsibilities. You know, we have work, we have jobs, we have bills, we have our own family, we got, you know, we had our life can consume us to the point to where we don't see anything but ourselves. And it's a challenge for us to widen our focus. And one of the things that the church as the family of God teaches us is that I've got to have my mind, I've got to have my focus on you as well. It's not just about me. I've got to be thinking about my brother and my sister in Christ. And again, we talked a little bit about this even last week, about loving one another and helping one another. Let me tell you where I think this is maybe something, an area we don't think about, and it's, I think, a fault maybe that we need to think about correcting. You know, we just observed the Lord's Supper. We just remembered the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there are two dimensions to this relationship here. We often focus, almost exclusively, I'm afraid at times, on the vertical aspect of that relationship. Me and the Lord. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, each one of us are individually thinking about my life and what God has done for me and how He sent Jesus to die on the cross for me and He was raised from the dead on the third day to seal my victory. And we think about that relationship and we think about that as we take of the bread which represents His body that was given for me. And we think about the fruit of the vine, that cup which represents His blood that was shed for me. And we have communion and we have a fellowship with God when we do that. And that is absolutely right. But church, we have neglected the horizontal part in the Lord's Supper. We don't talk about this. We have made it so many times an individual thing. That this is kind of your own personal time with God. Just you and the Lord. You get into 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I appreciate Worley reading that for us. Look over there in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's get our eyes on that passage here for just a second. You know, this is dealing with this horizontal relationship, the one another. and that we're to be conscious of each other. Here in 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul is writing to this church. He's dealing with some unpleasant problems. Church is messy sometimes. Family is messy. And we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks when we deal with that. You know, we're just, we think the church at Corinth, weren't they just a bunch of messed up people? Yeah, I'm glad we're not, ever. No, church can be messy. Relationships are messy. They're a challenge. And here, if Paul is writing to the church and they're facing division, they're not unified in the body. Here in 1 Corinthians 11, down in verse 17 and 18, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings. Here when they come together in their assembly time, their worship, they do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. And some were approaching the Lord's Supper here, and they were not being conscious of one another. You go down and read here, they've got their little friends. They're getting together, and they're kind of getting together with their own little group, and they're almost having a little potluck is really the idea here. It gets down in verse 22, and he'll, or 20 through 22, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. See, even there, how they were partaking of the Lord's Supper, it wasn't being expressed as a family, as a coming together as a family unit. It was kind of isolated. This group over here who had plenty, they were partaking of it, and they had a kind of like a little potluck going on. And Paul there says, that's not what the Lord's Supper is about. It's not just about coming together and eating a meal, even though it was in the context of a common meal that it was originally instituted in and even practiced probably in many ways. But he says, that's not the purpose. It's just to come and eat a meal with your select friends. He says, we're a family. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And he skips down here after the verses that Worley read for us about Paul passed on what he received when Jesus was the night he was betrayed. And of course, we think about that in the upper room. This is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. And the cup of the new covenant is my blood. He gets down there in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone, verse 29, who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment upon himself. And then he gets down to verse 33, it ends. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not be in judgment, result in judgment. You see, when he's talking about there that we remember the body, it's not just exclusively thinking us, have us think about the body of Jesus as it hung on the cross. He's also calling us to think about the body, the church, one another. And as we reflect on the Lord's Supper, as we each week are called together as a church family, it's not just individual time with me and God only in communion. I am communing with my brothers and sisters here. I'm with my family. And I need to think about that. I need to be conscious of my brother and my sister. I encourage you every week as we take the Lord's Supper, examine yourself, examine your life. Think about what the Lord has done for you at the cross. But don't forget your brother and sister. We are called to one another in family. We're to be conscious of each other. And again, as we kind of unpackage that in the coming weeks, we'll think more about that as well. But the Lord's Supper is that great demonstration that we are a family, one body, conscious of each other. But also, really what we're saying here this morning is that as a family, as a church, we're connected to one another. I mean, we're related to one another. We've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. We've been added to the church. The blood of Jesus Christ, that's our common, that's the common element that makes us family. Brothers and sisters, we are connected to each other. You know, I was thinking about this past week. Wanted to think about an illustration. I was trying to think, you know, what's one of the great ways to illustrate what we're talking about here, that the church is a family, that we're to be conscious of each other. We're connected to one another. And, you know, I thought, a Kleenex box. You ever thought about this? It's fascinating. Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, I was sitting in my office this week. I think Mandy and Justin walked by and was like, "What is Robert doing?" I mean, what happens there when I do this? A what? Not magic, yeah. I pull one up, and what happens? Man, isn't that cool? I mean, have you ever wondered about that? I mean, have you ever just tore apart a Kleenex box? Huh? Oh, look at that. I mean, you just keep going. What's the key here? How does a Kleenex box work? You ever thought about that? How does that work that when I pull one up, another one pops up? They're connected. And I could go through every one of these. I'm not. And down to the very last one, they are connected to each other. And I think about that is the church. The Kleenex box. That do you ever sometimes need to be lifted up? Oh. You ever go through some struggles and challenges? Physically, emotionally, spiritually. And you need someone to lift you up. And when they do, right there. That's it. That's what we are as the church. That's what we are as the family. I'm going to set this over here. I got Kleenexes everywhere. That's what we are as the church. I think about what Romans chapter 12, Paul writes at Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. And he says, we talked a little bit about this last week, how we use our gifts and talents in the body, even though we have different parts. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Did you catch that? Each member belongs to all the others. Should have had my little table up here. I could have just left. We're connected. That's what that's saying. We're connected as the church. We belong to one another. Later on, Paul will talk about we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. When one is going through a difficult time, we're going through a difficult time then. We're family. We talked about last week, our love has to be genuine. Remember we talked about phoniness? It needs to be fervent. Remember we talked about that? It needs to be genuine, real. You know, that's the thing about family. You can't fake it. Now, we can fake it here. We can come this morning, and, you know, we can get our nice Sunday clothes on, and we're all cleaned up, and we all look good on the outside, and people come up and say, "How are you doing this morning?" "Good, good. How are you doing?" "I'm doing real good." We're just all good this morning, aren't we? Bull. No. No. We're not. Some of us are hurting. Some of us are struggling. And one of the things we need to be as a family is we need to be conscious of each other. We need to be sensitive to each other's needs, we've talked about. We need to be realized we're connected to one another. You know, I love, just like that tissue box, when someone, we're right there. We lift them up and another one pops up. We're there for each other. We're connected as the family. You know, the Hebrews passage says in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, the Hebrew writer reminds us there that encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Daily. Each day. You know, we have a great opportunity with all the technology and all the, you know, internet and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, we can stay connected. You know, one of the things that I spend a lot of time actually on my phone. Probably now more on my phone in ministry than I do email on the computer. At least in that area. Because you can text people, You can get on Facebook. You can talk with someone privately in a message. There are so many ways that we can now stay connected to each other, even throughout the week, and encourage one another daily, each day. I love what Paul would also write in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12 through 14. Now, as we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you, hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. That's the idea there, is we're going to lift each other up. We're going to help each other as family. We're not going to fake it. We're not going to pretend that it's not there. You know, for a lot of people, church was a place maybe that you didn't show the problems. You dressed up the problems, right? In church, you put on your Sunday clothes. You put on your Sunday face. Church was not a place you brought your problems. Church was a place you hid from your problems. And as the church of Jesus Christ, we are a family. And I got to tell you, I live in my home with my wife and my three lovely children, but we don't hide stuff. It's all there. You can hear it, you can see it, and that includes some of our messes. You know, you walk in a room, who made this mess? You know, and nobody wants to own up to it, and that's how sometimes church can be. No, we need to own up to it. We need to see each other for as we are, and with love and patience and tolerance for each other. We love each other. We encourage each other. And that's what church is. Church is family. You know, we need to think about this. And my mind is on this right now. And so on my heart, I want us as a church here at Crosstown to just continue to grow as family. And we've got a couple of things that we're going to be thinking about the next couple of weeks that we're excited to kind of introduce and share, some very simple things that I think will connect this back to us being a family, growing as a family, and being concerned with each other, being conscious of one another. When people aren't here, when people are sick, when people are in the hospital, that we want to be concerned about them. We want to be connected to them. And some things that I'm excited about, a couple of things we want to try to do here at Crosstown. And so I hope that you're thinking about your place in God's family here at Crosstown. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And that means we're the body of Christ. That means we're the family of Christ. That means we're connected to each other intimately and personally. And we want to grow in this area as the Lord's church. We need to be committed to caring. Committed to caring because we're connected to each other. Maybe you're here this morning, you know, one of my greatest privileges and pleasures is to be able to offer you the invitation of Jesus every week when I stand up here, because we're offering you, the Lord is offering you the best news in the world. That though you in your sin and your brokenness, your weakness, your helpless condition, you can do nothing for yourselves, God sent a Savior for you. He sent Jesus on a search and rescue mission to save you, to forgive you of your sins. And you have the opportunity, as we assemble here, we offer this invitation, and your faith and your repentance and your being willing to meet Jesus in the waters of Christian baptism. Jesus will wash away your sins. God will forgive your sins. He will give you the Holy Spirit. But also, He will add you to a group of people, the church, the family of God. And in a world and a culture at times that seems to say, we can go alone. Thank you, Jesus, but no thank you, the church. We're wanting to come back to that as a priority here at Crosstown. We need each other. And so we offer the invitation. If you're outside the family, come to Christ this morning. Obey the gospel. Put Jesus on in baptism. Be added to the body of Christ, the church. If you've left the family or you're struggling in the family, what are we, church? That's what we are. We're connected. If you've got something on your heart, something you're having to bear, don't bear it alone. We're a family here at Crosstown. Tim's now going to come and lead us this song. If you have any need, come this morning. We're a family. Come as we stand and sing.
Shall we gather at the river?